praying for in my own personal life, my family, but also even here with our church. Just praying that God would just provide the leadership that we need. And I want to mention it to you. Please be praying because we need some people that are willing to step into the role of youth leadership. And we need that. And it's a big deal, even though you say, well, Pastor, we only have a few right now. There is never in Scripture where a few is not important. Even a few is very, very, very important. And we're going to even be having some more here in another month or so. We're going to have a couple others join. And so we'll have five. And I think it's important that we have people to lead our youth. And so you'll be praying that God would provide us with those people, wherever they're here or somewhere else. We don't know, that God would provide. And to tell you the truth, a lot hinges upon that, even though it's not 100% necessary. But some of you might be wondering why we haven't started our Discovery Bible studies. We were supposed to start in June, and that didn't happen, and I put it off until September. And I still don't even know for sure if that's going to happen, because we're still waiting, because we have people in certain positions in that Discovery Bible studies leading those round tables. And there's a need. There's still need for a multiplicity of people for that. And so I'm just not sure exactly what to do. And that is keeping us from that as well. Not just the youth, but even some others. We really need that. And so I'm asking you to pray with that. And so I'm to tell you the truth, I'm in a position as a pastor where I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And do we keep putting it off? Do we keep waiting? Do we just start and try to mix and match and combine and do whatever? And I don't know. And I found myself at the end of last week and the beginning of this week saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. And it was at that time, because I had asked somebody to lead the youth, and we thought that it was going to work out, and I got the news on Monday that it wasn't going to work out. And in the midst of that, I said, I don't know what, I don't know who, I don't know where to go with it. Lord, I don't know what to do. And I got a text from a friend. You know that friend, and that friend is my friend Caleb, that was here 2 weeks ago preaching, and I had told him the situation. He knew the situation, and he sent me a verse that was a big blessing to me. I'm not going to read that verse yet. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I don't want you to spend the first part of this message searching for that what verse it was that was a blessing to you. I know some of you, what verse did Pastor get encouraged on? I'd like to go to verse 30, though. And this is not the verse. We're going to look at the whole passage, but I want you to just see verse 30, and I'm going to introduce you to what I want to talk about this morning. I've entitled the message, Jesus, Yesterday, Today, and Forever. And I appreciated, of course, Skip this morning played that for that prelude song, Yesterday, Today, Forever. Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. It's not on now. Okay, I'll turn it on, Roger. It wasn't. Am I on now? All right, good. Okay, everybody can hear me. And I got the box working. So the song is good, and we know that, you know, Jesus is the same. He never changes, right? And that's the primary principle of that. But I wanna bring that topic into even what we learned about last week. Remember what we talked about last week? Isaiah chapter 26. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. You remember that, those verses? Okay? And it's amazing. Honestly, last week, that was a topic that the Lord laid on my heart, and I wanted to preach and teach. And I honestly don't know. that message last week wasn't hard for me to put together. The Lord put it together. And I didn't have to do a ton of work to get that message last week prepared. It's not the way it works out every week. But last week, that's the way it was. And I had that message to give to you. And I will tell you, of any message that I preached within the last year, I think that I didn't hear more people coming through the line, shaking my hand, saying, Pastor, I needed that message. That was perfect. That was what
I don't know that I've received more of that in the last year. And I just say, God is good. God knows what you needed. God knows what we need and is what I needed. And we've got to think through that. But this message today, I wasn't planning on trying to come up with a sequel to it. In fact, it was Thursday, I think, or Friday. And I was just, Friday's late in the week to get a message. And I was like, Lord, I don't know what to do. What would you have? And I had been meditating on this passage throughout the week, and I started thinking of this, and it's just so neat that in my prayer time, how the Lord put this message together. And I'll say for a second week in a row, it didn't take a whole lot to put this message together either, because God put it together for me. Pretty much the whole thing. I didn't have to do a whole lot. And so I'm just simply giving to you what God gave to me. You ought to be excited about that, because you know that it's what God wanted. So last week we talked about a mind stayed on thee. And what was the end result? There were two things. Everlasting strength, and it starts off with perfect peace. That will keep him in perfect peace. Would you like to be in perfect peace? Would you like to be in that state of, oh, I can trust the Lord. You know what? There's no enemies. There's nothing going on right now. Oh, I can rest. Well, we find King Jehoshaphat at the end of this passage here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. In a state of peace. I say the end, not the very end. I want to draw your attention to verse 30. You don't know probably the story of King Jehoshaphat in this passage. Maybe some of you would be quick to remember. I didn't even remember exactly when I turned to 2 Chronicles 20. I didn't know what was going on. There's a lot of things with the kings that happen, and you don't really remember what's going on there. And you're not going to know yet. And again, some of you are skimming already to try to see. But just wait. Just look at verse 30. And it just gives us the idea of that perfect peace. And so here's the end of the story in verse 30, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. Now, does that sound like the end of a good story? To me, it does. God gave him rest round about. The realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet. It doesn't mean that he woke up today and it was just a quiet day. It means that this time in his life was a quiet time. It was a time of rest. There were no enemies. It was okay. Things were good. And that really is the end goal of many of us. I just wish, some of you this morning would say, I wish it could be a time of quietness. I'd like that perfect peace. I'd like that rest. Last week, what did we discover? What was the way to get that perfect peace? Again, a mind stayed on thee. A mind stayed on Jehovah. A mind stayed on the everlasting rock that doesn't move. We've got to keep our minds on him. And we do that through thanking him, and we do that through asking him for help. And so here we are today. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet. A state of tranquility, peace, quietness, rest. Let me give you the context. Well, let me wait. I'll give you the context here in a moment. Let me have you turn to one other passage. Go to Hebrews. Chapter 13 and verse 8. I already thanked Skip for playing that song. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. And anybody would scratch their heads and say, why? Why yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same? Does that have to do with perfect peace, a mind stayed on thee, and certainly King Jehoshaphat? Hebrews 13, 8. While, I'm not going to give you the big context, while there would be other people, other leaders. You know, there were people in Hebrews that we've looked at. Remember Hebrews chapter 11, the great hall of faith? That you go back to, by faith, Abraham, by faith, by faith, by faith. And there's all kinds of different heroes that we look at and say, by faith. And this great cloud of witnesses that is talked about in Hebrews 11 and then in 12, in chapter 13, I think he expounds upon that, and he's saying that even if those people, and I'm just giving you the quick context of Hebrews 13, even if those people are here and they live and yet they pass along and they die and they're gone, verse 8. And what does it say? Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And of course, again, he's the same. Even if people fail you and that person who's your helper, or those counselors, those people are gone, who do we have as that constant? Jesus. Yesterday, I praise the Lord for Jesus being there yesterday. We have him for today. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonder. He's here today. You can turn your eyes upon him. And Melissa played that for the offertory. It wasn't designed either. And that was going to be the invitation song. Can be. Again, Jesus to look at. And forever. And what do we know about that constant? He is the same. So what does perfect peace of mind state on thee, King Jehoshaphat, and Hebrews 13:8 all have to do together? You're in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. King Jehoshaphat was a good man. In fact, he was one of the kings of Judah that was a good king. He wasn't always good. In fact, the sad story is that later on, after this story that I'm going to give you late in his life, he allowed the country to be used for idols and pagan worship. I don't understand that. But it should give us the warning that any of us can change. Take heed lest ye fall, any of us. But at this time in life, Jehoshaphat is, there's some good things that take place. And I'll tell you, I don't know how much of the chapter we're going to read. We'll go through and read a section of it here in just a little bit. But just so that you understand, Jehoshaphat is, things are going okay. And then there's a group of people on the other side of Jordan that way back in when Moses and then Joshua were leading the people into the land of Canaan. You remember in your geography, they come up from Egypt and they come up. If I could turn your way, they come up and they come and they wander in the wilderness, Egypt down here. And then they come up and they wander in the wilderness for many years, 40 years. And then they continue to come up, and then they come around the eastern side of the Salt Sea or the Dead Sea, and then they come up, and they end up crossing the Jordan River, and then they go into Jericho, which is in the land of Canaan, and then they went in to possess. Okay? There was a group of people that that they had been friendly to and helpful. And they hadn't been so friendly and helpful too. But God, they had blessed them in such a way. They didn't destroy them, but they came up through. And these people now that they had been kind to are coming back to them during Jehoshaphat's reign. And they have encamped about them and they have come to destroy them. That's where we find ourselves in 2 Chronicles. Jehoshaphat is there, he's with his people, he's looking at the enemy and he says, oh no, what are we going to do? Although we've been kind to them, they are coming to get us. And what is Jehoshaphat and his people going to do? And it's when this is placed, I draw your attention to these verses. And so, let's go ahead and look at verse 1. Again, I don't know how much I'm going to read right now at one time. Let me go ahead and let's start in verse 1. And it came to pass after this that the children of Moab, you remember Moab recently, don't you? We've just been talking. Who came from Moab? Ruth. Okay. All right. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea in this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is En Gedi. Remember En Gedi? We studied David. Remember where En Gedi was? En Gedi, back up here, okay, to this map that you can't see. Remember, we have Canaan. And Egypt, they came up around the Dead Sea, the Salt Sea, and right around the top of that, they crossed the Red Sea, and right on top of that is Jericho. If you were to go down on the western side now of the Dead Sea and the Salt Sea, just a little bit, in the upper third, on the again, on the coast of the Dead Sea, we have this place of the rocks, which is huge cliffs and rocks and very barren once you get on the mainland there. But these huge crags and clefts and rocks, cliffs, and there's En Gedi. Okay? That's where these enemies are coming from. So they've come around from the Transjordan side, come around the, I don't know if they came from the north or the south, but they came around and they lie in wait for God's people. Okay? So back to that. Verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of the cities of Judah, and they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people of Israel, or thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If, when evil come upon this, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, from whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade, when they came up out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Stop right there. All right, you get the situation. Is Jehoshaphat in Israel in a tough situation? It's hard. You know, the enemy has come to defeat them, come to destroy them. That isn't fair. We have been good to them and they're coming to destroy us. And so we see the situation, that difficult situation that Jehoshaphat and Israel are in. I just read to you verses 10, 11, and part of 12. So we recognize difficulty. We recognize, God, what am I going to do? I don't know what to do. I don't have any more people. I don't have any more answers. I have tried everything that I've known what to do. I've prayed to you. I've asked for help. I don't know what. Here I am. God, I don't know what to do. And that's exactly where in verse 12 we find Jehoshaphat. Go back to verse 12. I stopped this great company that cometh against us. Now look at the next phrase. Does it sound familiar? Jehoshaphat says, neither know we what to do. God, I don't know what to do. Do I do this? Do I do that? Should we go this route? Should we give up on this? Should we change our prayer? Should we? What do we do, God? Jehoshaphat finds himself right here. God, I honestly don't know what to do. And what have we learned that we need to do? What have we learned that we need to do? Last week we learned, when we don't know what's going on, we don't know where to turn, what was the answer last week? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. We turn our minds to Christ, Jesus, the Lord, Jehovah, God. And when we keep our mind fixed on Him, then He helps us with the turmoil. I'll tell you very simply, the message today is the exact same. I want you to notice, and you probably already read the end of verse 12. What's Jehoshaphat's conclusion? I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. God, I don't know what to do. I have no more to offer. I don't know what. I have no more choices. What do we do? And what did he say? But often introduces an alternative. And can I suggest that this is the exclusive alternative? There is no other alternative. We too often sometimes go to different alternatives. But this is the alternative. I can stand here in amazement and say, God, what do I do? God, I don't know what else to do. Or I can do what? He says, at the end of verse 12, but our eyes are upon thee. My friends, I tell you, that was an amazing statement that I read that day when my friend Caleb sent that text. It was just that verse. It wasn't the whole chapter. He didn't say read the whole chapter. He said, this verse has helped me so many times. He said, I don't know what to do, but our eyes are on Jesus. Our eyes are upon God. Our eyes are upon thee. And some of you can say, that's the answer, Pastor. You're not going to tell me that I should do this. You know what? I'm like you. I like answers. I like answers. I want to know. I want you to come tell me. Who should I ask? What should we do? What direction should we go? I'd love for there to be an answer. I say, okay, let's go that direction. It's okay. Whatever it is, let's go that direction. But I struggle when I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And we can get discouraged from this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Just look at Jesus. That's the answer. My friend, it is the answer. It's the answer. Look to Jesus. Now you're wondering how the song Yesterday, Today, and Forever, Jesus is the same, has to do with this. With the three words, yesterday, today, and forever, I would say that Jehoshaphat is in the today mode right now. In verse 12, he's at today. Today! What am I going to do? And what did he do today? He turned his eyes to Jesus. You know what? He goes to the Lord and he says, God. And of course he's praying. He says, God, I don't know what to do, but one thing is sure. My eyes are going to you. My eyes are going to you. The first little point that I make in your today is this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. I don't care. I do care. But it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. Your eyes have got to be fixed upon Jesus. Your eyes have got to be fixed on our Lord. They've got to be on Him. You've got to stop and you've got to think about Him. You've got to get your mind on good things. You've got to get your mind away from the noise that's in your mind and in your soul and in your heart. You've got to get your mind off of that and get to that place to where you're looking on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. You've got to. You've got to start thinking about Jesus. My friend, as I mentioned last week, if there's turmoil going on, if you're struggling, you don't know what to do, and you're kind of like Jehoshaphat, and you feel like there's armies round about you, and you say there's no help, and you don't know what to do, my friend, I'll tell you, it might not be good for you. You might not take it as good news, but I'll tell you, the good news is this. Get your eyes on Jesus. The today is turn your eyes upon Jesus. Today. Today is the time to turn your eyes to Jesus. Today is the time to get your mind fixed and set on Him. And the next thing that we see from Jehoshaphat, point number two, is the how-to. And you already know the how-to. But I want you to notice what Jehoshaphat did. So verses 10, 11, and 12 are kind of that mentality of turn your eyes upon Jesus. Okay, Jehoshaphat, get your eye today. Today, get your eye on Jesus, the rock that's still there. Yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus is the same. But I want you to notice, let's go back a few verses. Let's go back to verse 5. And I want you to know practically how Jehoshaphat does this. Again, it's no secret. I've already told you the answer. But let it be a blessing to you. And really, the end result that we look at will be the glory of this. Here's the how-to. Here's what Jehoshaphat did. So today, God, I don't know what to do. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's what he says. And he tells the rest of his people, we got to do this. We're going to turn our eyes on you. How does he do that? Go back to verse 9. Five. And let's look at verses 5 to 9. Again, I read it. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem. Notice the technique in which he does this. And Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord, before the new court. So he's together with his people and with God. He goes before the Lord. And said, O Lord God of our fathers. Where's he remembering to? He's going back. O Lord God of our fathers. So my grandfather, my great-grandfather. And I think that he's even going back beyond that. In fact, where is he going? Where in verse 7 does he go? He goes back to Abraham. He's really going back to his founding fathers. He's going way back. Our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? I really think that Jehoshaphat kind of is going back to creation. What is he saying? He's saying, God, aren't you God? Aren't you in charge of everybody? Aren't you ruler over everyone and everything? And in thine hand is thine own, is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? God, aren't you God? Verse 7, art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? Do you see the technique in which what Jehoshaphat is doing? What's he doing? He's remembering to who God is, and he's remembering what? Who God is and what God has already done. Let me ask you a question, folks. What has God done in your life? What has God done in your life? I want you to think of the milestones in which God has helped you to overcome. Go back to those days when you thought you wouldn't be able to survive. Were there days like that? Probably. Maybe for some of you children, you've not been there yet, but it's soon to come. I can't honestly say that as a child, I remember going back to days where I thought I wasn't going to survive, but it wasn't soon until I got, I remember a situation in high school. And right after high school, in the beginning of college, in which, praise the Lord for his preservation for me. But while I was going through it, I didn't think that I was going to get through it. You feel like the only alternative is for the Lord to take you, just to die. Wasn't long after that, I went through another hard time. And honestly, if the first thing was hard, this was 100 times harder. And I was going through a time of doubt and fear and questioning, and I honestly remember one day I got myself into a ministry and I was doing something and I was so, if I could use the term, noisy and crazy in my mind. I wasn't literally that way, but I was so struggling that I felt there was nowhere to turn. Nowhere. I was away from home. I was in this ministry. I was so miserable. And I honestly thought, where is the end result of this? At that point in time, I didn't feel like I could trust God because I was questioning his existence and all kinds of things. I feel like I had nothing. And to tell you the truth, when you get to that point, you really don't have anything except God is real, no matter whether you think it or not. And I remember still that day, I walked down to the park and I went there and I walked and walked and I pled with the Lord for himself to show himself to me. But yet I felt that there was no way out. And you know what? I remember back to the time. Sean, remember back. And you know what? God delivered me. And God gave me those verses. He gave me that counsel. He gave me that help. And he slowly, it didn't happen in one day. It didn't give me one verse and I popped out. But God slowly led me out of that difficult situation. And you know, God did that for me so that today I could look back and say, remember back when I delivered you from that? And I say, you know what? That was tough. And I never thought that I could get out. And yet God's standing here saying, but I did. And then you fast forward a couple years later when that next thing out, and then, oh, that was, the first thing was really bad, but okay. The next thing was really, really bad, but it's not as bad as this. And you know what? It's amazing how every time it seems to get harder and worse. And do you know that everything that I can remember, in fact, there's not a time that I could look back and say, God didn't deliver me, and I died. Because I'm here, right? And I have a smile on my face. And God is good. He was good then, He is good now, and He always will be. And God was good to me every one of those times, and God delivered me every one of those times. And now Jehoshaphat is, but God, now there's no way out. Turn my eyes on you. He looked. How can we practically look? We've got to go back. You see, he strengthened himself in the Lord because he remembered back to what God had done. God, you delivered me that time. I remember. I thought there was no way out. God, I remember. I go back, and this wasn't near as big as some of the things that I'm remembering right now, but I remember going through college. And I remember some of those tests, and especially at the end of the year when there was finals. I don't know why they put finals and end of the year like projects due at the same time. You know, it's like I've got all these projects that you're telling me I've got to study for this final. And I'm supposed to spend hours and hours and hours. But I've got this project, this big paper that I've got to write, you know, huge paper that I'm supposed to do all this research for. And then on top of that, you want me to read 1,000 pages of this, you know, or that. I remember going through that in graduate school, you know, especially graduate school. 1,000 pages of this, this, and that. Read all through this, do all this, do this project, and we're going to give you a final, like, within a couple days. And I know that that might not seem big to you and some of the things you're going through. And honestly, in light of some of the things I've gone through in my life, not that big. But I can tell you those nights when it was big, I felt like there was no way out. I honestly could have easily, and I probably did, call my parents and said, I am done, I'm toast, zero, I'm going to have to take the class over again. There's no way, zero way for me to stay up tonight and do all that and still be able to pass a final exam. There's no way, zero. And here I am, I survived. And you know, every one of those cases, maybe I had to stay up all night. Maybe I had to do this for nights and nights in a row, or do all, you know, whatever it took. Whatever it took, I did. God helped me get all those projects done somehow. I don't know how quality they were, but I got them done. I took those tests. I think I passed all those tests. I can't remember. Been too long ago now. But again, even though, just the point that I can't remember tells I got through it. But there was no way out. The only way out is to look to Jesus. And I'll tell you, all I could do some of those nights was to look up and say, God, I need your help. I can't do this. I can't do this. One of the things that helps is for you to go back, just like Jehoshaphat did. He says, God, just like you showed up with Abraham, just like you showed up at creation in your strength, just like you showed up when we went through Canaan, you know, when we came into Canaan, just as we did that, God, remember that. And I think he was encouraged. He was encouraged. We can, God, if God can do it then, I want to encourage you. Today you find yourself in a pickle. You honestly don't know your way out. You don't have all the alternatives there. And maybe you did, but they all have expended. They're gone. And you're here, just like Jehoshaphat. I don't know what to do. I say, remember, there were other times in life that you were there. I want to encourage you today to go home and get out a piece of paper and remember. Write them down. Remember that time, husband, wife, or maybe it's just you, that I went through that and I thought there was no way out. And yet God brought me. Remember that time way back when we had no money and no food in the house and we didn't know what to do. And yet you provided this way and we're still here and our kids are still, they grew and they've got their families now. Remember that. Remember. 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 I'll tell you something, it will encourage you to remember. Go back and thank the Lord for what He's brought you through. Thanksgiving. And as you remember it, spend some time stop thinking about all that right now is going on and remember. God, you did this, you did this, and you did that, and you did this. I'll tell you what, it'll change your demeanor real quick. God, you're good to me. You've been so good. You've been there every time for me. Jehoshaphat remembers back. Remember back to all that God has done. Go back all the way to your childhood. Go back to your parents. Go back to when you were first married. Go back to your schooling. Go back to those days when you're raising those children. Go back to last year. Go back to those times. And you say, God's been good. It'll encourage you. Today, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Yesterday, acknowledgement of thank you. Thirdly, today, yesterday, what's left? Forever. Well, Jehoshaphat prays. He starts there in five or six where we started. He started in verse 6. Oh Lord God, and he prays, and you know, at the end of this prayer here, but our eyes are upon thee. So he prays, and in a sense, he's praying for tomorrow. God, okay, here's where we're at. My eyes are upon you. This is what you've done. God, we need your help. He prays for tomorrow. God, I don't even know what we can do, but God, we need you. I want you to see the response, though, really. The answer is prayer. And by the way, the last thing that we see here is really praying for God, I need your help. That's all of what Jehoshaphat is doing. God, I need now your help. God, here's what today is. There's where you brought me yesterday. And now I need you to show up. We've already looked at the prayer. And that's really what this last point is prayer. But I want you to see, I think it will hit home a little bit more as we look at the next several verses at what this prayer really did for these people, what Jehoshaphat and the people. Look at verse 13. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Can you picture it here? Jehoshaphat, they go in and they go before the Lord. They have no idea. There's the enemy. I don't know how close. I mean, they were still a distance, but they're coming and they're going to kill us. God, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. And there's Jehoshaphat playing and all the people are there with him. And they are dependent upon their leader to give them wisdom. And what was the first bit of wisdom? Well, he went to the Lord. He acknowledged. He saw the Lord. He looked. He said, our eyes are upon you. And I have every bit reason to believe that the rest of the people followed him with that. We don't know what to do either. And if our leader says that, then we got to turn our eyes upon Jesus. Stop looking at our enemy. They turn their eyes to Jesus. They remember back to where God has brought them. And so there's all the people, old and young, standing there with Jehoshaphat. Verse 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Now this is an amazing thing. And I'm not suggesting that somebody's going to stand up while I'm preaching this morning and tell us the answer to all of the things and needs that we have in our lives. I'm not saying that. But in this setting, this is what happened. Here's Jehoshaphat. He's praying before the Lord, and all the people are standing there. And right in the middle of this, this guy stands up. He stands up. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him. And he said, verse 15, "Hearken," or "listen, ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude," that means the enemy, "for the battle is not yours, but whose?" You see what he says? This is not yours to worry about. This is not your battle. It's not yours. This is God's. That amazes me. You're sitting there saying, "God, I don't know what to do." God says, "It's okay. You don't need to know what to do. This is my deal, not yours." See, the problem with me and the problem with us is that we're too big in our worlds. Did you catch what I said? We and you, I and you, we're too big. We think that things are ours. It's not yours. This is God's business. This is God's deal. Those are God's people. That's God's family. Those are God's finances. Those are God's circumstances. That's God's job. That's God's physical situation. That is God's body. You're God's body. Those are God's things. It's all God's. It's not yours, Jehoshaphat. This battle is not yours. Brothers and sisters, it takes a world of pressure off of me. It's not yours. Let's keep reading. Tomorrow, this is verse 16. Here's tomorrow, yesterday, today, tomorrow. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook. These are very specific instructions. Before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Isn't that amazing? You're not going to need to do anything. Did you catch that? You're not going to need to do anything. You say, "Preacher, is this passage telling us that I don't need to do anything?" Well, in a sense, no. What did they do? They prayed and they got their eyes on God. They remembered and they prayed. That's our responsibility. And after that, what? Nothing. Let God do it. You know, some people, you know, use the phrase "let go" and "let God." And in some cases, that's bad because sometimes God wants us to do our things. But I'll tell you, sometimes we take it the wrong way and we do too much of ourselves. And I think sometimes we do too much. Let God take care of it. But trust Him. Trusting is not doing nothing. Trusting is praying, asking Him to do the work. And so, you know, he said, listen, he says, you're not going to have to do anything. He says, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. To tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. You know, the problem with us is that we hear this and many of us go like this. That can't be right. They believed it. Wow, we've heard from God. We don't have to do anything. All we have to do is show up and watch. They did more than watch. We're going to read that here in the next section. But can you imagine? Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah, verse 18, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Verse 19, and the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. They just praise the Lord. God, thank you so much. Do you know that if we're just like these people, you know what the result would be today? Even though I haven't given you answers to any of your problems, really. I've not told this couple right here, here's what you do about what they're going through, and I haven't told this couple what they're, you know, I don't know what they're going through, and I haven't told you, and I haven't told you guys. I haven't met everybody in my office telling everybody about all this stuff. I haven't met with any of you, but I am telling all of you, just like this prophet that stood up, and I have the authority to do that, not because I just come up with a dream. I have God's word. So I know this is from God. I have just as much authority as that man that stood up that was empowered with the Spirit of God. And I can say this, I've got good news for you guys. And I've got good news for you guys. And I've got good news for you guys. And you guys. And you guys. And I've got good news. Everybody listen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. I've got news for you. Remember back to what Jesus has already done for you. And I've got good news. Sit back and watch God do the work because it's not yours. The problem is that we go like this. That can't work. What they did is they bowed before the Lord. When they heard that, they bowed before the Lord and they said, God, thank you. Do you know that today, if we had the rightful response like they did, you know what we would do after the service is over today? God, thank you for giving exactly what we needed. Not, I don't see how that's going to work. I wake up this morning and it's still here, still the same problems. Now, as we close, I want to read the rest to you. Just listen, watch. Watch the amazing thing that God does. Verse 20, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa as they went forth. Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should... What? This is how they're going to fight. They're going to go... That should praise the beauty of holiness as they went before the army, out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, can you imagine? This is the funniest battle I've ever heard of. Can you imagine? No, don't grab your spears, don't grab your swords, don't grab your shields, don't grab your slingshots and your bow and arrows, don't grab anything. Just come and start singing. Can you imagine a group of people? Can you imagine what the enemy thought? Now, again, I don't know if they're watching them or whatever, but they just go out there and just all right, everybody, start singing. You know what? If I told you, if there was an enemy out there and I said, we're going to go out there in the parking lot, we're going to start singing, you would probably laugh at me. No, we got to stay inside here. Who's got a gun? Who's got this? Who's got that? Let's gather everything. Let's go into the center of the building. Let's do this. We're in trouble. No, let's go out to sing. What's singing going to do? And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord said, remember, whose is this? Whose battle is this? Whose problem is this? Yeah, so God's problem, God's going to do something about it. And the Lord set ambush against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come up against Judah. And they were smitten, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away from the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches and the dead body with dead bodies and precious jewels, and which they stripped off from them themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Berakah unto this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. I want to tell you something, folks. That is a tremendous story. A true story from the Word of God. Yesterday, today, forever. Jesus is the same. The exact same. Same for you, same for them, same for Abraham, same for your great-grandchildren that are to come. He's the same God. The battle is His. Turn your thoughts, turn your eyes, look on Jesus, give it to Him, let Him do it, because it's not yours, it's His. Practically, Jehoshaphat demonstrates, turn your eyes, thank Him, and ask. Trust, let Him do it. I can't say it enough. This is what God is waiting for you to do. God is waiting for you to take your hands off of the situation. Say, Sean, would you stop realizing, thinking that it's yours, and would you let me do it? Take your hands off. Pray. Think. Trust. But let Him do the work. He'll do it. He glories in it. And all throughout, praise Him. Thank His holy name. God, thank You that You're a good God. Thank You that I don't have to bear this burden. You can take it. You can take it. If you've got to give it over to the Lord a million times a day, then start. God, it's Yours. God, it's not mine, it's Yours. Now, let me ask you a question. Was what I gave you, did you see it? Was that truth? What, did I give you the truth this morning? Yeah, it was straight from God's Word. I didn't surmise anything. That's exactly what God's Word says. Then have you anything to worry and fear about? God says to you, it's mine. Let me take it. You don't have to worry about it. That's what it really means to get your eyes on Jesus. Let Him take it. Let Him take it. Father, I thank You. I thank You so much for what You've done in the past. I thank You for what You're going to do in the future. God, help us to turn our eyes. That was pivotal when Jehoshaphat, in the midst of the battle, he looked up and he said, we're going to turn our eyes upon God. That was the right move. God, it would be the right move of individuals this morning to get their minds on Jesus. God, help us. Practically thanking and asking. God, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.